This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 246 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are starting a brand new month. So we have a new second category besides the franchises. And this time, we're going to be doing sequels to movies that we reviewed part ones of. So first up, the sequel to a movie we did a while back, which was John Carpenter's Escape from New York. This sequel, of course, being called John Carpenter's Escape from L.A. Now, Alex, I know you've seen this, but when was the last time you saw it before this review?
When they released the 4K for it, because this got a 4K transfer. So when that movie came out, I picked it up because I like to have certain movies I will buy the 4K for just to complete the set, regardless of like whatever. But this was one of them. I like Snake Plissken, so I was like, you know what, let's finish it.
There you go. Okay, so that was like last year, I think, maybe early last year that came out. I've never seen this movie. I've seen Escape from New York only. I've seen clips of this movie, and I just never was drawn to like watch it. So I did not have the 4K, but I did have it a digital. I don't know if someone gave me a digital code or what, but I had a digital 4K. My TV in the living room does Dolby Vision and everything. It looked pretty good. Honestly, the 4K looked pretty good, and it made certain things pretty bad. But we'll get to that in a moment. Now, before we do, let's give you some Rotten Tomato scores. Now, this, not great, but not as bad as the last movie we did. I'll tell you that much. Critic score is actually a 53. So a little over half positive, almost to the 60, but not quite. But audiences, they didn't really like this movie too much. It has a 39% audience score. What do you think?
It's for, well, we'll talk about it in movie stuff, but this movie, was it ahead of its time? No. Should have never came out? Yes. I think what happened is,
wow.
I think what happened is that I think they waited way too long for the sequel, and it reflected on the Rotten Tomatoes scores. I'm going to be honestly, those are low numbers, especially for a character that's cult classic, Snake Plissken. So yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I do think it's, and I'm just looking up when did Escape from New York come out? 81. So this movie was 15 years later.
Yeah.
15 years. Okay, well, that being said, let's hear it. You get to go first. So,
No. Not this one.
Oh, you want me to go
first? Since you've never seen it before, I'll let you take the reins on this one.
Wow.
We're doing and a little flippity-doo. Yeah, we're going to flippity-do that on your episode. So I want to hear what you think about it before I do mine.
All right, I like that. Okay. Snake Plissken. So I liked him in the first movie. I thought Kurt Russell was cool. I like Kurt Russell. I just think he's cool in general. I don't know if it was because it was the first time watch or what. Yeah. Like, I didn't hate him in this movie. I think I gave him a lower score than in the first. I gave him a 3 in this movie. He's still seems like Snake Plissken from the first movie, to be honest. Except I feel like he talks way more like raspier in this movie the whole time, more than he did in the first movie. So maybe he forgot like how he talked, and he was just like, every line I'm gonna do like this all the time.
Yeah.
So that was a little funny, but the character itself still seemed like the Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. The reason I don't give it the same score and I lowered it a point is because he doesn't really have a storyline. Like, he doesn't really have a storyline in this movie. He just shows up. They get him. They just go get him. Right? Like, he just shows up. They're like, we got him. You're going to go in here and do this thing that you did also the first time. And then that's it. And that's all he has now. He just has to go through the trials of being in LA and surviving there. But storyline for him, there's no growth or anything different really that he does. He does kind of, I guess, something that would be considered heroic at the end, but even then it's kind of like not really. He's still kind of out for self. So I gave him a 3. I thought he was okay. I a step down from the last movie, but not like, not horrible to me.
Yeah, I would say that's not that bad. Not bad. I gave him a 3. I thought he was solid as Snake. My problem is that's not the same character we saw in the first movie. I mean, they totally rechanged him up. I was not a fan of this version of Snake Plissken. I felt like, you're right, I felt like Kurt Russell did not know how to play the character anymore. But the problem is that this film was written by 3 people. It was John Carpenter, Deborah Hill and John Carpenter wrote Halloween 1. Then you have Kurt Russell writing the script. So I'm like, okay, so the lead character is helping out. I mean, how does that work? If it's the character's not even as good. So
yeah, why didn't he write himself better parts?
Yeah, like, wouldn't you have like better scenes in this movie? But anyway, yeah. I, didn't like him much, but I was like, he wasn't horrible. I thought he was good, and it was fun seeing the character on screen. And there's more stuff to talk about, but I gave him a 3. I thought he was good. He looked great. I mean, he looked big. Like, Kurt Russell looked jacked in the 4K. Great. Yeah,
but this was the year before Breakdown, too, which is a movie I really like. So he was in that 90s. Well, he looked good.
Yeah. I agree. He looked pretty good. All right.
Well, okay, so main villain. This was what? Is it freaking Jose Cuervo or whatever? Cuervo Jones or something like that?
Yeah, Cuervo Jones. Yeah.
What a horrible name. Kurt Russell must have wrote that name. That was his contribution. Have. He's like, let's make the bad guy have a really weird first name and then just call him Jones. Because this dude is like South American and his last name is Jones. Anyway, kind of the villain for most of the movie. And then also the president, you know, is bad. But none of them are good villains. I gave him a 2. It stays away from a 1. I saved my 1s for like the really abysmal. I wouldn't say he was abysmal, but he's just a gang lord. This is like almost exactly like Escape from New York. Like, it is almost the same. And the reason why I really wasn't going to go higher than a 2 is because one of the things he makes Kurt Russell do to survive is play basketball. And if you know me, I hate basketball scenes in movies that are not basketball movies. So unless it's like, I don't know, I Love You, Chuck and Larry, where they're playing a basketball game for like jokes, or like Along Came Polly, that's okay. But when you have these movies that are like R-rated sci-fi action movies and they're playing basketball, this one, Alien Resurrection, there's a couple other ones. Like, don't play basketball. And sure enough, he's like, you got to make 10 points with a 10-second shot clock, alternating baskets. And this man, Snake Plissken, is Steph Curry because he makes a layup and then a layup and then a little jumper and then a half-court shot and then a full-court shot all in a row. Doesn't miss. And I'm like, no way. This is stupid. So anyway, the Cuervo Jones makes him play basketball and he doesn't really do much. Steve Buscemi is like a villain and then he helps him and he's the villain. You know, very confusing. So I gave him a 2 total. I don't think they were memorable, but they weren't the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, you're nice. I gave them a 1. I thought they were horrible. Like, they're not memorable. They garbage. At least Duke in part 1 was more. Isaac Hayes was way better of a villain.
He was better.
Yeah, but this one was not good, dude. Like, that Chavo guy never got to fight Plissken. Actually, they never came toe to toe.
Like, meat barely.
No, he was just like, I heard of this guy. Yeah. Now you have to shoot. And I was just like, what is wrong with this? Like, fake ass Spanish dude. Like, I didn't like him. Steve Buscemi was kind of cool. What's his name?
Map of the Stars or Map something.
Map of the Stars Eddie. That's his name. Map of the Stars Eddie, which is annoying. I was like, all right, he was cool, but he's annoying. Then you got my man with the surfer dude bitching. It's going to be bitching.
Oh, Peter Fonda?
Yeah, he's like, it's a bitching. So I was just like, okay, my boy Bruce Campbell did his job. I loved him in the movie. He was really good. Like, if they did the whole thing on him, I would have been like, this would have been awesome. When he was the plastic surgeon guy, I was like,
he looked so weird.
Yeah.
So but weird.
That whole scene of the movie was, I think, the best part of the movie. Like, it was quirky and weird, but it felt kind of like, oh my God, like, man, I wish they stretched it out even more. Like, him trying to run through the hospital to get away, I think it would have been a cool sequence. But, I mean, they got out pretty quick, but I kind of liked that scene a lot. He was like, real boobs, and he grabbed on her boobs. He goes, he got one blue eye. It's a shame he only has one. But I mean, the villains were not good. The president, I mean, he was not good either. I mean, they all wasn't good. Yeah. Even the guy was like, I know Plissken is alive. How do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Look at him. He's on the treadmill.
Yeah. Stacey Keach, the other, like, the main, like, not henchman, but like the guy from the president who was like the next one down. Yeah.
Yeah. He was garbage. Anyway, I gave it a 1.
Okay. Now, action. Again, there's action in this. Similar to Batman and Robin, there is action, but the stuff that happens is so very stupid. So you have the aforementioned basketball scene, which is played like an action scene because you have the clock ticking down and you gotta like hurry up or he's gonna get shot and killed. Then you have shootouts with the little Asian mafia gang kids who are like 12, like they're 12-year-old Asian gang and they got machine guns and stuff. You got the little the little hospital break, that scene for Russell. Then you got the surfing scene. This is horrible. I don't know, first of all, it's CG and this is like 1996 CG. So it's bad. is very bad. And you have him and Peter Fonda. Even the way they start surfing is like, that does not how that works. Like, they're just like on the floor and it picks them up and they're on top of the wave. They're riding the wave. And then he jumps onto the car and I'm like, oh my God, this looks horrible. And then you also had that part with the submarine at the beginning with the shark, like the CGI shark under the water.
Oh,
that was past Universal Studios and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then my favorite scene though, at the end, when they're on the hang gliders that never land, so they could just keep flying. Like there's some kind of magical wind that could just keep them flying up in the air on hang gliders forever. So again, plenty of action, most of it dumb, but there's some cool violence. I did like that kind of gladiator section thing. You know, when before the basketball scene where they're like in that, the guy has that thing. And he's like cuts. I mean, they don't show it like cut the head off, but because I thought that was going to lead to something really cool, better than basketball, to be honest with you. I gave it a 2. I can't, like, there's a lot, but it's just a lot of really weird ideas and corny, but at least it's R-rated and it hits pretty hard. I also didn't think that lady was going to get shot. That caught me off guard where she follows him. She lived through all that and then follows him. Is like, yeah, shot.
Yeah, she's dead.
And I'm like, what the heck? So I gave it a 2.
All right. When it comes to action, I'll be nice on this one. I gave it a 2. But I wanted to give it a 1, but I gave it a 2. I agree. I mean, the basketball scene was just got atrocious, but the surfing was really bad. Oh, it was really bad. It was really bad. Peter Fonda is no bueno. But then that the submarine in the beginning is atrocious. It looked like one of those roller coaster VR games that you pay for like $5 at a carnival.
Because in 2001.
Yeah, it looked really bad. Oh man, what? I'm trying to look for other scenes that I'm trying to say is good.
Like the hang gliders.
That was okay. That looked really bad. Especially
they never
when
land.
He was,
like, how do they keep flying?
Well, he kept flying. He just kept shooting the machine gun, holding one hand, and he's like.
And they had the helicopter part. That was okay.
That was okay. That was all right. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's what I'm saying. It was like some of it was all right, so I can't give it a 1.
But it's just the scene where he gave the tape when they were all going to shoot him, and he had the virtual reality
at the end.
Yep. Yeah, he had the Total Recall watch.
That's right. He hologrammed himself over from another part of the field
for 8 minutes. Yeah. I was like, okay, that looked pretty cool. That was actually pretty cool. But yeah, I gave it a 2. I agree, it was decent. All right, what do you got?
Storyline. So this movie is almost the exact same as the first movie, except less in every regard. So I think it's, again, I don't think it's like the worst storyline I ever saw, but it is just a retread of Escape from New York, except in LA. You know what I mean? So it was like, it just felt like a cheap imitation, sort of. That being said, the premise is solid. Like, there's a reason why Escape from New York is like kind of the cult classic that it is, because it is kind of a cool storyline. You got this place, it's like a prison, send this guy in to get this person, do this job. Same thing here, they send him in to get the president's daughter and to get this like thing. And then the president wants him to kill the daughter because she's a traitor. Yeah, like that's the basic premise, right? And it's solid, but the problem is like we saw this already. Like they didn't do enough different from the first movie to differentiate it. I'm pretty sure I gave the first one like a 4 on the story. I thought it was really good. This one I gave a 2 because, again, I don't think it's terrible. It just feels a lot like the original one, but not as good in every way. So I still give it a 2.
Well, I give it a 1. I don't like movies that copy from the other movie. This was a hard copy. The dude, they inject him with the flu virus.
That was funny.
Instead of a bomb.
You have the flu, bro.
Yeah, I thought that was it's so stupid. And there was like a lot of jokes that they were trying to remake from the last one, from the first one. Didn't work for me at all. I did like it was in LA, but I thought it should have been a way better storyline than this, to be honest.
I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
But that scene you really liked is a scene I really liked, and that contributed to my 2 as well. The whole commentary on the plastic surgery and that sort of vapid LA lifestyle of everyone wanting to get plastic surgery and like how far it would go in the future. I actually liked that. And I thought that was a clever commentary on that sort of thing. So also, I'll add that in as something I liked. Sorry. You mentioned it earlier, and I meant to put it here, and I forgot.
Yeah, no. I thought that was the best part of the movie, to be honest with you. I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, they were all weird. And it reminded me of, like, a Twilight Zone episode, like the Eye of the Beholder. I think that's the called, right? The famous one with the pigs. You never seen that episode?
I didn't watch Twilight Zone.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know, because you're not into TV shows. But
yeah,
there's an episode, I think it's called The Eye of the Beholder, where there's a lady that has a head wrap on, and they start to take it off slowly and slowly. And then when they reveal it, it's a beautiful chick. And when she looks up, everybody look like pigs. And everyone's like, ah, like pretty much like they're like, she's disformed.
She's the ugly one.
Yeah, like she's the ugly one. But the lady was hot underneath the whole thing. So I think you will honestly.
I might like it. I just have never really watched it.
I think you will like a lot of the story. I mean, it was ahead of his time in that writing for Rod Sterling. But I think you will enjoy it. And they look amazing on Blu-ray. So imagine on 4K.
Maybe I'll get it one day.
Yeah, you might. It's 5 volumes. A lot of episodes, though.
That's okay.
So watch it little by little. But yeah. But anyway, that said, yeah, I'd give it a 1.
You hated it. Okay, that's fine. So overall, I mean, I didn't totally hate my time while watching this. For one, it's only an hour and 40 minutes. So it's not very long. It's not like it overstays its welcome. But that being said, it is one of the most lazy John Carpenter movies ever. One of our Patreon subscribers, Rob, made a super good comparison that I agree with because I've seen both movies. Like, this was John Carpenter in his, like, oh, he hadn't made Ghost of Mars yet, but he was getting there. You know what I mean? Like, this was like the precursor to Ghost of Mars, which is a horrible movie. Like, I think that's way worse than this movie. Mm. Because at least this has Kurt Russell, who's fun to watch, and it has Steve Buscemi, who's fun to watch, and it has some good actors in it. So, but Ghost of Mars is, like, horrible. So, maybe we'll never do that on this podcast. We'll see. But yeah, atrocious. And I just think late John Carpenter, this is when he was starting to lose his edge, if that makes any sense. Like, he was a king in the 70s and 80s of that independent, you know, kind of make your own movie that you want to make and do everything, right? Write it, direct it, produce it, do the music, you know, do everything guy. And at this point, it felt like he was kind of tired of making movies, you know, maybe it didn't have much to say except for that one scene, you know, with the plastic surgery. That's the only moment that felt like something from old John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And I don't mean old man, I mean old, like early. So, but that being said, I mean, like I wasn't like constantly wanting to shut it off. So I gave it a 2. I don't think it's a good movie, but I think as far as a sequel goes, even though it's like pretty much a carbon copy, I guess you could copy something worse. Maybe that's my point. Like it could have been worse. So it was a 2 for me.
When it came to this movie, I was literally debating of giving it a 1, but I didn't. I actually think it's a decent film. I enjoyed it for the time that I was watching it. I was like, you know what? It is what it is. Because I've seen, we sat through worse shit this whole month.
Our last episode was something.
Yeah, I sat through a lot of stuff. But I kind of enjoyed it for like that 90s. You know what? I will say though, it had a great soundtrack.
I'm not going to lie.
He's a great, composer for music. Like, it reminded me of vampires. And I love vampires.
See, that was before he totally went off the rails. Yeah. Vampires is pretty good.
Yeah, I love vampires, and I love the score for vampires. And this was right up there. I mean, the LA wasn't as good, but I did love the soundtrack. Like, I thought it was pretty cool. And what's crazy, too, is I don't know a lot of people know this, but Jamie Lee Curtis is the voice of the narrator in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was the narrator of the first two movies, New York and LA.
Yeah, they worked together on a lot of movies.
So. Yeah, so she was the voice of the narrator. Mm. So she was like in 1996. That's
cool. Fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. But yeah, other than that, I gave it a 2. I thought it was a decent film.
Okay, so total points. For me, that is a 11. 11 out of 25. Now, that's pretty low. But again, like I wasn't like dying to turn it off, but it's a pretty bad movie. It's about what I expected for a movie I've never seen. I had a feeling it was going to be like this from the clips that I had seen. So I didn't really love it. 11 out of 25.
I gave it a 9 out of a 25. I thought it missed the bar. I wanted to see a really good Snake Plissken. Like, it would have been awesome, okay? It would have been awesome if it was just me, if I was Alex Carpenter. I would have actually did him doing the bank heist in Cleveland and got caught. And then show up to, you know, them doing the whole thing with the, you know, the same shit that we saw. But just seeing him get caught. Because that was like the whole running thing in the whole movie. The whole Cleveland situation.
Yeah.
So I would like to see like how that guy was the guy before he became a girl.
Pam Grier with the weird voice.
Yeah. So
that was weird.
I thought that was like a whole weird situation, but you know, I don't know. But I give it a 9.
All right. So 9 for you, 11 for me. It's still not great. So hopefully we're out of the woods here. Next week, we got a couple of movies. One that I'm very excited for. So our next franchise is going to be Blade, which is a movie I grew up on all through middle school. Blade 1 was just my absolute jam. So we're doing some Wesley Snipes Blade. And then our next sequel is a sequel to a movie that was one of our Patreon reviews that was requested by... who was it?
I think it was
Jonathan
Jay.
McCoy. Jonathan McCoy requested Kick-Ass. So we're going to do some Kick-Ass 2 with pretty much all the people returning, except Nicolas Cage, of course, because RIP to him, his character, he died in the first movie. So no Nicolas Cage, but Jim Carrey's in this one.
Oh,
I remember
he?
That. Yep.
I never seen Kick-Ass 2. So.
Okay. I saw it at the theater, and then I have it on digital. So that's all I know. So we'll be doing some Kick-Ass 2 and some Blade 1.
That's a pretty good week. Could be a pretty good week. I've never seen Kick-Ass 2, so this is the first time you're watching.
So, and the good thing is, since I host, you actually get to go first then for the first time watch.
All right, guys. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friend called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys related, head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast, or head over to YouTube.com/GeeksAndFlicks for the video version of the podcast. Soon, within a month or so, the website should be up and running, so you guys can get your merch. You guys could check out all the podcast episodes in a nice place to check it out in, and more stuff coming down the pipeline. You get to get the news and stuff like that. But other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.